right where today.
This is old, I think.
And these were both from today.
Okay. Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Sorry for the delay, everyone, and we'll do our best to get through our agenda today. We're going to especially make sure we hear from anyone who's come a long distance to be here with us today. So we'll start with Senator Saxhock.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. There is a place in northern Minnesota that has beautiful forests and pristine lakes. What makes what I'm going to talk about unique is that it's Minnesota's only national park. The City of International Falls and Voyages National Park have decided it's time to put a premier entry point into the park on the Rainy River at a new and exciting site. And today I'm proud to introduce a bonding request for $6.5 million for the City of International Falls. Here to explain the Voyagers Heritage Center and the National Park Headquarters is Mayor Sean Mason of International Falls and Superintendent Kate Miller of the Voyagers National Park.
Thank you, Senator Saxhock. I just have to correct you on one thing. There is a national park here in the Twin Cities that's the part of the Mississippi River National Park, and I forget the name of it. But we had a forest ranger here who told us the other day, and I forgot already.
You know, I think I'm aware of that, but it's not quite the same system.
No. Well, I don't know.
It's a national recreation area.
It is? Yeah. It's a national recreation area? So you're right, and I'm wrong. Okay.
Okay.
Very
thank
good.
You. Thank
All
you,
right.
Madam
well.
Chair. I hate ever to correct the chairman.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. Welcome to the committee. Thanks for coming. Who's going to go first?
I shall go first. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senators, and special thank you to Senator Saxhock for his outstanding leadership for our district. My name is Sean Mason. I am the mayor of the City of International Falls. With me today is Kate Miller, the superintendent of Voyagers National Park. As the senator said, Minnesota has one congressionally enacted national park, and that is Voyagers National Park. About 10 years ago, 1997 to be exact, Representative Irv Anderson introduced to you a project called the Voyager Heritage Center. In 1997, the state of Minnesota appropriated dollars for pre-design and for feasibility, and the feasibility study came back, and this project at that time had a large conference center component, which was not the feasible part, but the Voyager Heritage Center was feasible. So Irv reintroduced it in 2001, and it didn't get past Governor Ventura's desk. We put the project on a shelf, not in cold storage in the icebox of the nation, but on a shelf because we thought it was a very reasonable, worthy project, perhaps submitted before its time. Boise Cascade is the number one employer in International Falls wood products industry, and they own the last frontier in International Falls on the Rainy River. They own a mile piece of property, and when Irv first came up with this project back in 97, he wanted the Voyager Heritage Center on that piece of property on the Rainy River, right on the border, right across from Fort Frances, Ontario, and that piece of waterway connects to Rainy Lake and Voyagers National Park. Boise decided 2 years ago they would sell this piece of property. The City of International Falls, knowing well what this project could do for our community, approached Boise and wanted to buy it. Long story short, they decided they did not want to sell to anyone local. They would like to sell to a company they had a relationship with out of Boise, Idaho. A company by the name of Ultimate Log Development then purchased the property. They were going to lot it off and build homes and have it zoned residential. The council told them our vision was not for residential. So we went and we worked with them, and we showed them our vision. They got so excited about it, they have decided that they will build, to the west of us, a lodge, a marina, conference center for 500, and many other amenities. The project the City of International Falls is working on the land that we purchased from the developer is the Voyager Heritage Center, Park Headquarters, and Irvin Anderson Amphitheater. There'll be walking trails and biking trails, a floating gazebo, a day-use docking facility, and the amphitheater is a 2,000-seat amphitheater, outdoors. The Heritage Center is not a visitor center for Voyagers National Park. It is a center that commemorates the story of the Voyager. That story is international in scope, covers one-third of North America. It'll be more of an experience center. We have a unique project, a unique bonding project, that it inspires partnership between the city, the state of Minnesota, and the federal government. We're asking for $6.5 million from the state of Minnesota. The City of International Falls is building the headquarters portion by using $11.5 million in revenue bonds. That 11.5 is being made possible through securing a lease with the federal government. So the federal government's partnering with us on that 11.5. The federal government is also partnering with us on the Centennial Initiative, of which Kate will outline, and it is $2.5 million for the inside, the exhibits of the Heritage Center. And I would have Kate explain that initiative.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Welcome.
Sean, and thank you all. I'm very honored to be here, both as a native Minnesotan and as a representative of your National Park Service. In 2006, the President of the United States announced a major... Kate Lidfors Miller, Superintendent of Voyageurs National Park. In 2006, the President of the United States announced a very special initiative. The purpose was to engage all Americans in their natural and cultural heritage and to reconnect Americans with their national parks. This unprecedented 10-year program celebrates the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016. Our project has requested funding under a very unique program, very unusual for the federal government, a partnership program in which federal funds will match private or other non-federal dollars. The purpose under which we are submitting funds is for projects that have significance to both national parks and their gateway communities. Last year, all 398 units of the National Park System were invited to submit project proposals under this program. A very long list of projects went in from all over the country. A very short list of projects came out at the other end, eligible and deemed worthy for funding in FY09. And our project is on that very short list for $2.5 million in matching funds to what the state of Minnesota can do to participate in this project. We have very strong support at the regional and the national levels of the National Park Service, and I just want to invite you all to participate in this unprecedented, historic opportunity. Thank you very much.
International Falls, as many of you probably do know, is losing population. 10 years ago, we were at 10,200. We now are at 6,300. We feel that this project is important because of the level of the three levels of government partnering, because the structures that we're going to be building are going to be LEED certified, which is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. They'll be sustainable. And because it will spur investment, private investment, in a community that so desperately needs it.
Stand for questions, Madam Chair.
Great. Thank you very much, Senator Saxhog, and to your witnesses. And I'm thank you for taking the leadership on making your building project sustainable. Other questions? Well, all right.
All right.
We really want to thank you for coming down today and taking the time to share this great project with us.
Thank you
Madam
very much.
Chair,
thank
members.
You. Okay. Do we have other senators here waiting?
He's across the hall.
Okay. Okay, then we'll make sure we have people waiting so we don't have any delays for the next one. I didn't know that was going to go so fast, but we run out of time if we do this. So, who else is?
We've got to get some.
I know, but do you have a plan for the next few people?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone else here to jump in.
Senator Anderson, I'm going to try to get to the Ardwood on Monday night.
Oh, good.
You want to
give
me an RSVP?
Oh, good. Thank you. Sounds good. We're doing a St. Paul reception. I just saw the notice too.
it's a, like a welcome to St. Paul Park. The St. Paul delegation is.
All right, Senator Prentner Solem, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. The bill I have before you is this Sustainable Buildings 2030 proposal, and it's based upon a national initiative that's called the Architecture 2030 Challenge. This concept has wide support by architects, planners, professional organizations, and many states across the country. By accepting the Architecture 2030 Challenge, new buildings are to be designed to consume 50% less energy and emit less carbon dioxide than the average existing buildings. Future buildings would realize further reductions based upon the following schedule: 50% in 2007, 60% in 2010, 70% in 2015, 80% in 2020, and 90% in 2025. These efficiency standards regularly increase so that by 2030, buildings would minimize or eliminate the use of carbon-based energy. This Sustainable Building 2030 legislation provides a voluntary standard for all private sector buildings, but the standards would be mandatory for state-bonded buildings. Once the standards are fully developed, they would replace the existing sustainable design guidelines that are currently used for state-bonded buildings. While this proposal does not actually request any state bonds, Section 1 of the bill would amend current law. Minnesota statutes require that all buildings that receive bonding money from the state must be 30% more energy efficient than the energy code for all other buildings. This proposal would increase the level of efficiency over time for existing buildings and increase efficiency standards on a ramp-up basis with a goal that all new buildings built in 2030 and beyond would be required to be essentially carbon neutral. And Madam Chair and committee members, I have Sheldon Strum from the Center for Energy and Environment here with me. And we're here to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Strum, do you want to say anything?
I'm Sheldon Strum from the Center for Energy and Environment, and the reason I'm involved in this is I was on the governor's task force on climate change, and I was on a couple committees, and one of our committees, the Residential Commercial Industrial Committee, examined this idea. There was great support for the idea, and we've tried to draft legislation that's consistent with the guidance of that committee. I think it's fair to say that architects throughout Minnesota think this is a great idea, and think utilities will support it. That's about it.
Great. Well, Senator Prentner Solem, do you think we need to try to get some of this language in the bonding bill, or is it just for discussion purposes and while we're discussing the bonding? I mean, we could and pass it as a separate bill.
Yep. Madam Chair, I'm not sure it needs to go into the bonding bill, but I think that Senator Langseth would like to be informed about it as he moves forward. It will have an impact on bonded projects.
So we can certainly consider this for recommendation in our committee requests and recommend it to Senator Langston. Are there questions? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really moving along. Welcome, Senator Clark. We're ready for you.
Between subdivision and
make sure there's not a space there.
I'll just be right there. Yeah. I'll see how there's a space.
Senator Clark, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. We are, which one are we going to do first?
Trail first.
Okay. Senate file 2396. Senator Clark.
What you have in front of you is a request for an appropriation to be helping us do the Ricori Trail. We're going to have some testimony that we'll talk more about, but what we're trying to do is connect trails. We're trying to make sure there's a number of things that will happen with this particular trail. One of them happens to be seeing school kids being able to actually bike safely between the schools and their communities, which would be a good thing. We believe that some of the employees in the area would do that as well. It is definitely of regional significance. It's a pretty exciting opportunity. It will help us connecting the glacial trails, lakes trails, Beaver Island Trail, and Lake Wobegon Trail. So I think we can accommodate and accomplish several of the things that we're hoping to do as we move on in the future. Now, I have a couple local folks here with me. I'd like them to talk a little bit, if that's okay.
I think that'd be just fine. We have Mr. Lahr.
John, why don't you say it? You want to read it? Say your name.
Can I start first,
Ms. Weber?
Yes.
Just identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm Rena Weber, City Administrator for Rockville, Minnesota. I really represent the RO of the ROCORI trail system. This is in case anybody ever wanted to know what Ricori stood for. Actually, we've been in dealing and looking at this since 2004. It is a 12.2-mile trail that is separated, ADA-compliant bike and pedestrian trail, and it'll run as a trail by rail along the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad corridor between Richmond and Rockville, up through Richmond, Cold Spring, and then through Rockville. What we're asking for is roughly $2 million of a total of a $4 million project. So far, we've received $526,964 for phase one. This is from the phase one is from Richmond to Cold Spring. And what we're asking for is for the phase two and three, which is from through Cold Spring and then all the way through Rockville. The local significance is this is an alternative mode of travel that will connect three communities and the Ricori School District. Again, that's Rockville, Cold Spring, and Richmond, and then two townships. This will provide an option of walking or biking and further provide health and recreational benefits. This has been identified in all three city comp plans. Is what we want to do is have a connecting trail between all three. As the senator has said, this is of regional significance. This will really go beyond the three cities. It'll become a part of the Glacial Lake State Trail System from Wilmer to Richmond. It will extend eastward through Wake Park and St. Cloud to connect to the Beaver Island Trail. It will also extend northward to St. Joseph and connect to the Lake Wobegon Trail. We have that possibility in place. I will turn it over to Larry Lahr.
Mr. Lahr, identify yourself and go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Larry Lahr. I'm here as a resident of Wakefield Township for the past 34 years. I am the third generation on my family's farm, and I am here also as a supporter of the Ricori Trail Project. I actually am a graduate of Ricori High School, as is Rena Weber.
Yeah.
And many of you might remember there was a tragic incident there about 4 years ago now. And ever since that event, particularly in the months following, our three communities, Cold Spring, Richmond, and Rockville, spent a great deal of time trying to find ways to strengthen our communities individually, but as much so to try to bring the three communities together. And so today there's a great deal of cooperation that has resulted. Richmond and Cold Spring, for instance, had shared wastewater treatment. We have a shared police department with the city of Richmond. And through the conversations, we've really spent 1 month or one meeting per month since that time, 4 years now, meeting to try to pull together and provide a trail system that would connect the three communities and connect the schools that are within those three communities. There are people that have been to every single one of those meetings, citizens that have been to every one of those meetings in that four-year time, believe it or not. The three cities, Richmond, Rockville, and Cold Spring, have each pledged the local support that would be necessary to fund the difference between the portion that we have not received from the federal government and the amount we would receive from the state of Minnesota, hopefully. Our primary mission is to try to leverage the money that we hope to receive from the state with monies we've already received and are still applying for from the federal government and then with that local support. In the past 4 years, we've raised privately over $90,000 for the project and continue to really kick in that campaign once we have a majority of those funds raised through federal and state sources. This is not a DNR project. The project began really as a group of citizens trying to connect those three communities. And the DNR certainly has been supportive. They've been to many of our meetings along the way. Their master plan that they developed back in 1993 for the first time does show this segment as part of their master plan to connect, and I think you have the map, to connect all the way from the city of Willmar to the city of St. Cloud and then points beyond that even. And so we are part of their master plan for the future. As Rena mentioned, we have been developing the plan so far as a rails with trails concept, which means that the railroad tracks will remain active and that there would be a separation in grade and there would be a separate trail adjacent to that railroad bed but in that same corridor. Thus far, BNSF has been fairly open to those discussions and has the short line operator that runs that short line that runs from St. Cloud to Cold Spring. We did develop a corridor study a year ago that essentially showed that the concept was feasible, and we've used that as a way to try to give comfort to the railroad companies. And as at this point, the Stearns County attorney has agreed to work on negotiating the easements necessary then for that rails with trails concept. Technically, there is one small portion of the trail which has already been constructed. We can say now in the city of Rockville, downtown Rockville, there is a short stretch near downtown that was completed in 2007 as part of a highway project there. I guess the most important point I'd like to make today is that, quite frankly, we cannot get this project done without state support. Even with all the local support that we would ask for from our local governments, the amount that is being raised privately, the federal funds coming in, it does take the state support or this project in order to get that trail constructed. We do have people in Cold Spring, for example, certainly, and I'm sure in the other communities as well, that we know that use biking, for instance, as their primary source of transportation. Even in these harsh Minnesota winters, the past weeks, you'll see them getting groceries and that kind of thing. And so we're hopeful that this will not just be a form of recreation for people, that in growing numbers we'll see people use it as a source of transportation, especially between those schools. That's the end of my comments, unless there's questions for us.
Thank you, Mr. Lara. Are there questions from the committee? Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a couple of questions. If you mentioned it, I missed it. I guess I'd like to know what the length of the trail is, but more importantly, have you gotten anything from the railroad that, you know, kind of lays out their intent to cooperate with the project?
Mr. Lahr.
Mr. Chair and member, we actually have a total length of the trail of about 12.2 miles. And if you have the map, that's actually where it connects with the Glacial Lakes Trail on the west. Our segment itself that we've been working on as citizens has been 12.2 miles. And as far as the railroad's official response, we haven't yet begun the process of negotiating for those easements. To this point, it's been a matter of meetings with them, going through the corridor study, kind of responding to their request for changes in that corridor along the way, and also getting some initial feedback in terms of what the expectations would be with the design once we move to construction if everything goes through as expected. And so they've given us some direction, for instance, that there needs to be a fence separating our trail with their rail, that type of activity.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Mr. Lehrer, I guess, you know, I've had some acquaintance with dealing with the railroad. They aren't the most cooperative folks around. I guess I'd like to suggest that you try and get that underway. It seems to me that, they do what they can to delay your project, and, you know, the further down that road you can get, I think the better off you're going to be to see the, you know, your project come to a reality. So just
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair, members, I also just want to make sure that we let you all know, too, there's going to be a lot of hard decisions with this bonding bill. And the amount that's here is what is going to be needed ultimately. But what they really need to be doing right now for this next phase is to be acquiring land. And so if we are able to get we can keep moving forward and really doing what I think we're all trying to do with these trails around the state with a significantly less amount of money. So if you move this forward, which we would hope you would do, it would be with the notion that we would be looking at really just trying to get money to acquire the land, which ought to help Senator Hukubli with, I think, your concern as well. The sooner we can actually be negotiating that, the better.
Other committee questions on the project? Thank you very much. Sounds like a good project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. One final question. Could you tell us what part of the amount of bonding that you're asking for is going to go for the land?
You know, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure exactly what that number is.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Going towards the
land. Mr. Chair, my understanding at this point, if we're to be fairly specific, they would need approximately $372,000 to do the acquisition. Probably just under that, but they came up with a fairly precise engineers were looking at it. And Mr. Chair, members, my guess is that might be a little bit more feasible within the contours of this bill than the other.
All right, then. Other questions? If not, again, thank you.
Thank you.
And Senator Clark, Senate File 2395, is that what we're looking at next?
And just because I know Senator Fischbach will be coming in soon, I just want to let you know that the Ricori Trail actually is part of both of our districts. It does go across districts. This one, this is probably one of my very favorite parks, and if you have not been to it, I hope that you come at some point in time. It is in the Waite Park area of the St. Cloud area, and as the name would suggest, it's on an old quarry. In the summer, it is teeming with young people swimming, bicyclists riding, people hiking. In the winter, there's a lot of cross-country skiing. And when I talk about what happens with our tax dollars, this is the example I actually give, because one of the things that the county board did, Stearns County Board did several years ago, was they installed small lantern lights that you could, so you can cross-country ski at night in the winter. And with a tiny bit of money, each of us together are now able to have a place that is really pretty amazing. What they are trying to do, and Madam Chair, there is a typo on line 1.9. It says they're trying to acquire 3.5 acres. It's actually 39.5 acres. And I think we need to amend that.
All right. Senator Saxhard, would you move the amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Make that correction on that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Thank you.
And I have Mr. Woken from Stearns County with me, who can explain a little bit more very quickly, because we know you have a lot of other things you're trying to do, about what would happen here as well.
Madam Chair, my name is Chuck Woken, and pardon me if I swallow this microphone, but I don't have much voice left. I'm the park director for Stearns County Parks. Quarry Park and Nature Preserve is probably one of the most unique outdoor adventure recreation regional parks in the, not just the state of Minnesota, but in the Midwest. You can see some of the images on the handouts there with mountain biking, cross-country skiing. We have the longest lighted ski trail in the state of Minnesota. We do trout fishing, rainbow trout are stocked by the DNR. We have rock climbing. And that little picture up on the top right, the dad with his two kids, that's 116-foot deep swimming pool made out of granite. And you can see that it's not just a place where two-legged wildlife hangs out. It's also a place where families hang out. Our request is to buy 39.5 acres of property. It's shown on the bottom of your map. This is the last large acquisition as part of the master plan for Quarry Park and Nature Preserve. Within our 643-acre park site, we have a 323-acre scientific and natural area. We have the largest occurrence of the tubercled rain orchid, and we had donated the conservation easements to the state of Minnesota to create that scientific and natural area. The acquisition we'll finalize our expansion of Quarry Park. It's entirely within the city of White Park. Recently, the mayor of White Park announced that the places that they want to make sure they infill with residential activity and development are the borders of Quarry Park and then two other areas. So the race is on as to who gets the bottom 40 acres there. Our intention is to open up a whole separate day use area coming from the south of the park. The northern portion has more of the risk and adventure recreation activities, and we're looking at the southern portion being more of a traditional regional park. This particular site draws people in on a daily basis, 50% of them beyond the park's boundary. It's just a wild, beautiful, kind of breathtaking site, summer or winter. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Excuse me, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm curious, I'm not familiar with your park up in Stearns County, but do you have any information on the usage of this? I guess my question is, why would this not be a county project instead of a state project? What is the reason that this should be a state project?
Well, we consider this a regional park, and in some of the visits that I've made down here asking for funding in the past, there's been some confusion that it's already a state park simply because it's so unique and it really is the type of facility that fits into the state park system. As I said, we did a survey of 17 days straight in a row, and every day that we checked where people were from, 50% were from outside the boundaries of Stearns County, which is easily of regional significance. Ultimately, we would like to have a granite industry interpretive center, something that complements the extractive mine interpretation that we're familiar with in the state of Minnesota. That's yet to come. This particular project, the county has already bonded its match for this site and looks to the state for assistance with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Watkin. Did you have other comments, or are you done?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. I like to read magazines, you know, kind of for my relaxation, and I'm sure I saw this park. It's kind of on my list of places to go. I think it's probably Midwest Living. Was it in Midwest Living or one
Correct.
Of those family magazines? Was it? And because, you know, they have articles about really fun places to go in the Midwest, so I love reading those, you know, especially in the middle of winter. And I've never been there, but I remember seeing the pictures, and it looked like a wonderful place to take your family and enjoy the summer.
Madam Chair, your family would love this place, whether it was in the winter or the
mm-hmm.
summer. It's really good for kids, particularly when, you know, you're not a toddler.
Right.
But, you know, you can do some safe risk-taking activities. And, you know, we don't, and I know because you and I talked about this a couple of sessions ago, I don't know how many people in the metro area realize, but an awful lot of districts don't have any state parks in them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a state park near us, so these regional parks become a much bigger deal. But as Mr. Woken said, it's the kind of place that you want all Minnesotans to know about because it really is a pretty incredible place.
Great. And I didn't know you had cross-country skiing, especially to the extent that you do.
It is. That's, seriously. It is one of those things that when I think about the bill we just passed off the floor, when I think about what I love about living in Minnesota is that you can live in a place that's got it's in the middle of a regional center but has this quality of skiing available, and you can be a beginner and you can be somebody who's really pretty advanced, and going in the evening is a pretty amazing thing. So again, anytime anybody wants to come up, hope you would do that because it is amazing. I don't say that lightly. It's a great place.
And the trout, you have trout fishing there? It's not from a trout stream, I take it.
Correct. It's a put and take opportunity where the DNR has assessed the carrying capacity of the different quarries, and then every spring they stock them. And I'm proud to say I finally caught one of those little puppies. Those are hard to catch.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Are there any other questions? And let's see, your request. Okay, got it. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
you.
Here. Appreciate it. And we'll have to put this on our committee tour list. It sounds like a fun place
Definitely.
To come visit.
It could include a picnic while you're
I think I saw Senator Fischbach. Oh, good. Yep. Well, you're next. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 2367, I believe that is the number, as I got it correct, is $482,000 for 23 acres on the Warner Lake County Park. And if you just take where you looking at the Quarry Park pictures, if you flip that over, the Warner Lake County Park pictures are on the other side. And this is another regional project, you know. This is an opportunity. We have a willing seller to, and I'm trying to pick up a little bit for you because now I'm feeling bad that your voice is going, Chuck. So, but this we're working with a willing seller, and this is an opportunity to expand the Warner Lake County Park and do some buffering for the swimming park and some ag land that we can move back. And Stearns County is already bonded for 40% of the local match on this, and I think that this is a wonderful opportunity to enhance this Warner Lake County Park. And I will turn it over to Mr. Wolken again in case he wants to add a little bit.
Sure.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator Fischbach, for sparing my voice. This is, again, one of the regional parks that we have in Stearns County. It's actually in an area that in the 70s was slated for a state park that never materialized. Just like out in central Stearns County, out in the St. John's area, there had been a proposal for a state park that never materialized. Because of that, we've had enjoyed a lot of support from the state in grants through the Lock-On program and DNR to acquire this property, which started as a modest donation of 33 acres by the Campfire Girls and has now grown to 241 acres. It's one of five swimming beaches in Stearns County. Stearns County is about 1,400 square miles. If you think from Clearwater over to Painesville to Bruton, north to Sauk Center, eastward, kind of in the Rice area, but not quite there. There are five beaches there, and so we're really concerned about protecting the integrity of the water quality at Warner Lake. That's the reason that we want to acquire this particular property. The land immediately adjoining the east boundary of this site is zoned light industrial, and the discussion with the appraiser is that they feel that light industrial argument may be made for this property that's for sale. Unfortunately, it's available because of a tragedy in the family, but they have given us a kind of a heads up that it's available, a willing seller, and sometimes you can wait 30 years for one of those. So the importance of this particular project is that not only does it buffer the swimming area, it also provides kind of a southern connection toward Wright County. We're about 3 miles from Wright County, and this addition will allow us to go southward, connect down to the city of Clearwater, and then access any trails that Wright County builds from the city of Clearwater.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Excuse me, Mr. Walken, just a similar question. Is the usage of this facility similar to what you described in the other one, that it's a majority or whatever of people outside of the county that are accessing it?
We haven't done a recent survey of the individuals there, so I'm going off of probably 10-year-old data, and we were looking at that as a heavy use from Wright County. We're by the Clearwater exit, so you get to Trunk Highway 24 and you're across the Mississippi River, and Sherburne County doesn't have very many parks, and so being that swimming beaches are really where it's at for Minnesotans in the summer, this truly is a regional park.
All right. Thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you, Madam.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We're waiting for Senator Dibble. Do you know if he's... Why don't you go ahead, Senator Torres Ray? We don't have much time. Obviously, we started really late, so we need to really keep on a tight schedule today to get through all of these and give everybody who's been here waiting a chance to get their presentation in. So go ahead, Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am here to ask for your support for a very important project in my district.
Senator,
I believe
right,
I have to turn this off, don't I?
Illuminated, yeah.
I'm illuminated.
But we can't see your face.
I'll turn it around.
That's
is that okay?
Better. Very good. That's a good low-tech solution to a high-tech problem. Thank you.
This is my own doing. Yeah. I asked my presenters to please bring some pictures so that we can illustrate quickly the problem that we have. So thank you for this opportunity, Madam Chair and members of the committee. This bill is a request for $5.3 million in bonding money to the Minneapolis Park Board for flood mitigation and work that needs to be done in the Minnehaha Falls Regional Park. This project has become really an urgent project for the city because of the current condition, and you will hear from the presenters right now and why is that we are so alarmed and decided to really come forward and advocate quickly for funding. This perhaps is the result, and presenters will talk about really the importance of this park. Minnehaha Falls was the first state park in Minnesota and the second state park in the nation. And it is now part of the Metropolitan Region Park System, and we attract about 780,000 people a year. And 40% of the people who come to visit are from outside of the metropolitan area. Because of the historic nature of the park and the situation that we have right now is that the retaining walls of the park have collapsed, and several areas are really, the foundation of the retaining walls are being taken away by the water, and we're very concerned that if we don't repair that right now, we are going to not only have a real problem in terms of environment, but also in terms of cost. So I also would like to let you know that this is a collaborative effort between the Park Board, the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, and the Minnesota Veterans Home, and the presenters will speak to those issues in a moment. And so with me, I have, I would like to introduce Andy Lesh from the Minneapolis Park Board, who will speak to you about the project and will answer questions, and also would like to introduce Mike Wade from the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District, who will speak more about the collaborative effort of this project.
Great. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Lesh, you want to start?
Madam Chair, I believe we'll start with a presentation from Mike Wade, if that's okay. We'll get the slides going here.
Madam Chair, Senators, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come before you today.
Can you guys turn the lights down?
My name is Mike Wyatt. I work with the Minnehaha Creek Watershed District. What really prompted the Watershed District to get involved with the Minneapolis Park Board on this project was a flood event that we had back in October of 2005, where several areas of the stream banks collapsed along Minnehaha Creek down in the park area. And we took the opportunity to really identify all the other problems with the natural resources going on within the park. What you have before you is a feasibility study that was put together by the Minneapolis Park Board in the Watershed District. We've had discussions with the Minnesota Veterans Home. They own property in the area, and we're able to work with them on the project. We also have a federal request in for funds for a program that's administered by the Army Corps of Engineers to really stabilize some of the stream bank areas. What we're asking for from the state is support for a part of this project. The Watershed District has already levied about $1.6 million towards this project. The Minnesota Veterans Home has about $345,000 that they've dedicated towards this project. And the remainder is the $5.3 million that we're asking for from the state. What we'd like to do is just take an opportunity to go quickly through some pictures of the area. We did have a tour of the park recently. However, there was about a foot of snow on the ground, so it's tough to see all the things that are going on in the park. But we'll start with a shot of the falls. Obviously, this is an iconic landmark for both the Twin Cities metropolitan area as well as the state. Flood flows flow through this area. It's a 181 square mile drainage area that ultimately comes through the falls. So it's fairly significant in the flood flows that it receives. And as you can imagine, that results in some problems. This is a shot of what are called works progress administration walls that were put in back in the 1930s with FDR's New Deal. And basically, these walls have survived for the last 70 years. But now they're to the point where they're really defying gravity. The area that's circled on this slide shows erosion and undercutting that's going under the walls right now. They're on the verge of collapse. We have one part that's currently lying within the creek, and we expect that this spring more parts of the walls will fall in.
So go back to that slide. Is that a walking trail right there? I mean, if that wall fell in, couldn't people get hurt?
That's right. That is a walking trail, and it's one of the primary walking trails directly downstream of the falls. And this really is a public safety issue, not just for the walls that stabilize the stream banks, but as we'll get to a little bit later in the presentation, there's also stabilization measures above that. And if those fail when somebody's around, it does pose a significant public safety concern. And this is part of the stabilization that is above the trail area. These are referred to as crib walls, and they were likely put in sometime around the 1970s, and they're currently failing as well, and it's stormwater flow, it's public use, it's just erosion in general that's causing the collapse of this area. This is another shot just below a wall that's on the top of the bluff, just to demonstrate a bit more of the erosion happening at the site. This is an area of erosion. It's a high-use area. In the summertime, it is literally crawling with people. It's a major access point to the creek. Kids, adults, and the like walk right over the stream bank into the creek, which is a good thing. But what happens is that, in addition to the flows within the creek, have resulted in erosion. The stream bank originally is in this area, and it's eroded out significantly in the last couple of years. We have really poor stormwater management that's coming off of the storm sewer pipes coming into the creek. We'd like to fix that. We're working with the Minnesota Veterans Home. What we're proposing right now is to hold back about 70% of the stormwater that's leaving their site right now. As you can imagine, it's about a 50-foot drop from the top of the bluff all the way down to the creek. So the velocity of that stormwater is significant, causes erosion. We like to hold that water back, infiltrate it, get some water quality benefits out of it, and also reduce the erosion in the bluff area. Basically, it's kind of a free-for-all in the park right now, which is great. Kids can climb on the rocks, walk all over the park. What we're proposing to do with the feasibility study is really define some access points so people aren't all over the place, because when people use certain areas and use them heavily, it results in erosion of the bluff areas and degradation of the trails. We have significant stream bank protection issues. This is a stormwater outfall. There's a scour hole below that we would propose to fix. This is on State Veterans Home property. This is a stream bank stabilization measure that was put in back in about 2001. It's fallen over and into the creek right now. We'd propose to stabilize that with vegetation and a bioengineering technique, which would also contribute to the ecological value of the creek. You can see the tree roots here, significant erosion underneath those.
I could add to that too, Mike, Madam Chair, that the last slide represents the access to the river where the Minnehaha Creek flows in the Mississippi River, and just upstream of that where the bank failures occurred, we have 20 acres of leased land with the Minnesota Veterans Home, and that's an emergency access for ambulance, police, and so forth to get to the mouth of the river should we have a drowning or a rescue situation. And that trail will probably have to be closed this spring because of the severe erosion we've seen in the last 2 years. As many of the other trails will probably likely have to close if we lose the WPA retaining walls.
I'm going to have to ask you guys to kind of wrap it up.
Sure.
Because we have a lot more to do, too.
Sure. Well, in closing, I think what we'd like to stress is that this is a project that is a comprehensive project for the park. It's a water quality project. It's a habitat improvement project. It's a flood mitigation project. It's a public safety project, public safety improvement project. But most importantly, it's also part of a comprehensive plan that the Watershed District has put together. We're investing about $14 million upstream of this area over the next 10 years. And this is one piece of the puzzle towards the overall management of the creek. We're hoping that the state would choose to support this. We'd be grateful for any assistance that we have. We really view this as a statewide resource and an important one, not only to the local community, but regionally and statewide.
The last point I would add, Madam Chair, is that this project's ready to go and get something going right away this year.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Senator Torres Ray?
Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, just real quick, I know you're pressed for time. I picked up on the veterans' homes because you know what I've been trying to do out there, and I've got some money and try and fix it up. So I hope, Madam Chair, that we do some of this, if not all of it. And I'd like to have you be sure you put it in our look soon file again.
Great. Well, thank you for that endorsement. It looks like it's pretty critical needs.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee, for giving us the time. I wanted to make sure that you see the pictures because it's very hard to speak about the urgency of this particular project without seeing what is happening and truly presenting the problem. And more than anything else, to let you know that the request right now is for $5.3 million, but I'm afraid that if we don't take action right now, this project is going to be much more expensive because replacing the retaining walls right now, we only, as you saw in the picture, we're only trying to repair the foundation. So if the retention walls come down, the project is going to be much more expensive than what we currently are presenting right now. So thank you for the opportunity to present.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. I think Senator Dibble's still stuck in committee. I know Senator Pogamiller's here. I had already called up for Senator Dibble, so I just wanted to check to make sure he didn't beat you in line, but I don't believe he did. So, Senator Pogamiller, please. You better grab that seat quick.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I've got two proposals.
Yes.
Why don't we do the small one, the Father Hennepin, first?
All right.
Okay, we'll do the other way. We're going to do Grand Rounds. They're queued up that way on the
laptop. And that's
set file
2519.
And as I understand it, as you look at 2519, there's a A1 amendment that Senator Dibble and I believe the park board and everybody is for. Yes, so we should, if you would put the A1 amendment on so they have the whole bill in front of them.
All right, we're getting that passed out.
Okay, so as that's happening, the Senate File 2519 is a basically a three-cycle request from the legislature to do $10 million a year in bonding for three cycles, so over a six-year period, to help restore and fix the 100, I believe it's about 100-year-old Grand Rounds scenic byway in Minneapolis. And it's the money was specifically used for rehabilitate. And this is the greenway through around the lakes, goes all the way around the city that many, I'm sure all of you have been on. And it's been there a long time, and it needs quite a bit of refurbishing. And the rehabilitation of the existing facilities, replacement of the parkway and path lighting. There literally are places where the lighting is just falling over. Trail and parkway pavement, replacement of St. Anthony Parkway Bridge and Sioux Line Railroad, and repair of WPA retaining walls. So that tells you how old this is. And to complete a small missing link that they're going to show you with the presentation. So it's a 55-mile loop of paths, bikeways, and parkways that encircles Minneapolis. It's part of the regional park system. That's why this is not a local project. This is a regional. It's part of the regional system in the metropolitan area. And it's because of the size of it, it's truly a statewide resource. I mean, most Minnesotans have been on this in some fashion during some part of their trips to Minneapolis. The system was rebuilt in the 70s, but they're talking about a much more significant overhaul of the system now. And there's various securing of federal funds involved here and various sources, Met Council, et cetera, et cetera. And I think then I'll just turn it over to the park people to give you the visuals of what's being talked about here.
Can we get the center sheets?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Right, thank you. Welcome to the committee.
I will move.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Mike Kimmel. I'm with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. And I also have with me Nick Eloff, the Grand Rounds Manager in the Planning Department with the Park and Recreation Board. I'm just going to quickly draw your attention to a handout that we have. I'm not going to read every word of it, but this first one is the PowerPoint that we'll talk off of today. The second two are just fact sheets for these two projects that we're presenting. Again, I'm not going to present those. That's basically for your reference and additional background information. But the first project we're going to do is the Grand Rounds, but we've got a little introductory slide first, and again, I won't read it all, but I just want you to know that we have a large area of parks, open space, natural areas, lakes, and trails, over 6,000 acres, 1,400 of which are water, and we support 15 million visits annually to the regional park system, plus we estimate about another 5 million to the other local parks in Minneapolis. So that amounts to a very substantial economic impact to the state and the region. A summary of our bond projects and requested amounts that we're presenting today. Again, the Grand Round Scenic Byways, which is rehab, lighting, paving, and completion of the missing link for $10 million. We have Father Hennepin Bluffs Park. That's a rehab for $1 million. And, we already did the Minnehaha Falls. We're kind of a little bit out of order here. Apologize about that. Project locations in Minneapolis. We have the Grand Rounds Rehab, which, as you can see, encircles the entire city. We have the Father Hennepin Bluffs, which is kind of in the center of the city. It's just in the north end of the Stone Arch Bridge, and the Minnehaha Falls Lower Glen, which you've already seen. The first project that we'll present today will be done by Mr. Nick Eloff, Grand Rounds.
Nick Eloff, Project Manager, Grand Rounds. Madam Chair, committee members, as Senator Pogomiller mentioned, we're requesting $10 million for the Grand Rounds National Scenic Byway. The Grand Rounds, originally envisioned in the late 1880s by the founders of the park system, was termed the Grand Rounds. And in 1998, the federal government established the National Scenic Byway Program for the Grand Round. It's the only totally inclusive urban scenic byway in the nation. Mike said we receive about 15 million visitors every year. And as the senator went through, I won't go through the slide, he laid out most of the items that we are asking for infrastructure improvement. One significant portion of the Grand Rounds is that it's over 53 miles of parkway, parks, and trails that circumnavigate the city. However, what we call the missing link, that portion of the Grand Rounds in northeast and southeast Minneapolis, never was completed. You see from the slide there the area in the northeast and southeast portions of Minneapolis. That's about a 3-mile link of parkway system that we're looking to develop in the next few years. It is a priority for the Park Board and the city to complete the Grand Rounds project. The Park Board has created a Citizens Advisory Committee made up of local citizens, representatives of the City Council and the Mayor's Office, the Park Board, the Senator and representative of the area, as well as neighborhood interests and local business interests. And this committee has been underway looking for what would be the ideal route to complete the missing link.
Members, this is totally coincidental, although it is the reason I'm probably the author. This is my district. So the only portion that was never completed happens to be in my district. But it's only coincidental because this was done many, many years ago before I was even born. So just happens to be 3 miles right through the middle of my district.
All right. Well,
we'll pick the right senator to sponsor.
Yeah.
Committee members, as shown in the picture, part of this missing link would pass over one of the highest points of Minneapolis along Ridgeway Parkway. It overlooks downtown Minneapolis, as you can see from the slide here. Our typical parkway system consists of a roadway, usually two-lane with parking bays, also a separate hiking trail and a biking trail for users. This project will be similar to the existing parkways that we have there right now, St. Anthony Parkway, Victory Parkway, and so on. Just want to show you some examples of how the existing parkway is right now. As you can see from the slides, we need improvements for the infrastructure, bridges, lighting. And the parkway itself. There are many benefits to the parkway system, but I won't read them all, but most every year the Chamber and the Convention Bureau call us asking for maps, brochures, and lists of activities that people can participate in, because they know that their clients, their visitors, are interested in the outdoors, in our environment, in our park system, and things to do. A great attraction, not only for the city of Minneapolis, but statewide and nationwide. Investment in the parkway system and the Grand Rounds will also improve and enhance the local tax base through investment and reinvestment. And part of what we see as the missing link is investing in the northeast and southeast areas of Minneapolis. If you think back at what the Park Board did recently, not too long ago, is we completed West River Parkway through downtown Minneapolis. Completion of that parkway and the park, it brought major reinvestment in local business and residential development in downtown Minneapolis, thus increasing the appeal and the tax base for the city. Just a chart showing, again, our infrastructure needs and the dollar amounts that we are proposing. For rehab of paving and completing the missing link, $6.5 million. Lighting replacement for parking lots and along trails, $3 million. And then for the St. Anthony Parkway Bridge, $0.5 million.
Our committee is scheduled to adjourn in 7 minutes, so we really need to wrap up. I have a bill
that I was... about Father Hennepin really quickly.
I'm just wanted to ask members if they can stay till a little closer to 3 o'clock. No, I see one head shaking because the next committee's at 3. I think we're going to lay Senator Dibble's bill over till next week. I think that'll work for him. But I was hoping to present the Bell Museum.
They're going to be very quick on Father Hempel.
All right.
And Senator Hamm.
And we have to do the amendment, too.
The missing link is no relationship to maybe how I... when they brought me this bill, I thought, oh, gosh, you got everything going here.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll make this very quick. This next project is Father Hennepin, and I have a submittal for $1 million to the state. Over 1.1 million visits annually to the Central Riverfront, of which this is a park, and again, it's on the north end of the Stone Arch Bridge. And basically what I'm showing you here is condition examples. The picture is really worth 1,000 words, and I'll just let them speak for themselves. You can see that basically this park is very aged, and it's starting to fall apart. Everything is starting to rot and kind of fall into the drink, if you will. More character examples you can see down from the looking. We're down the gorge on the paths. The paths are eroded. These bridges here, there's multiple bridges down in the gorge, and those bridges need to be rehabbed. The previous picture showed details of the bridges.
Also, this is Stone Arch Bridge. Guthrie Theater is at the end of the bridge right there.
Right. Steps and pathways down to the bridge are eroding away. Asphalt trails up on top are also in very poor condition, and just a few more condition shots. You can see the slopes and the paving are giving way. You can see the trees falling down into the water, and they are taking dirt and stairways and other park facilities with them. Here you can see the picnic area, very old equipment. One of the steps is falling down. A tree actually fell on the lower part of this, so we actually had to close it, and you can see there are drainage problems. Funding to date, we have had some funding from the local watershed and the St. Anthony Falls Heritage Board. And you thank you for your consideration.
Oh, great. Thank you. And I'm sorry to rush everyone. Started about an hour late, so we're trying to, we wanted to still do all the hearings we could because a lot of people came. to participate. Senator Pogamiller, the amendment goes only to the one bill?
Apparently, yes.
Is that right? Can someone turn the lights back on, please? Thank you.
Madam Chair.
That's to Senate File 2519. And do you want to briefly describe the amendment? I think it relates to the having high standard lighting, so it's energy efficient lighting.
I'm going to have Mr. Rice explain it. This is something Senator Dibble has been working on with the Park Board.
Senator Brian Rice, Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. This amendment would just require that any lights that we would use if we got funding would be night sky compliant using the most current energy efficient things. We are doing that now, but it's consistent with what you're doing in the bonding area for other projects, LEED certification, energy efficient, and things like that. So we think it would be a good best practice on all your projects if you're doing any funding.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate that intention. Senator Coobley.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd be willing to move the A1 amendment to Senate File 2519, but I'd also like to know what the national night environment is. Some of us on this side of the table know what the natural night environment is. It's dominant in most of our districts, but what is the national night environment?
We don't. Oh, the national Mr. Rice?
Madam Chair, Senator Coobley, I think you've caught a typo in the amendment. It probably should be natural night environment. Not
That's a good catch, yeah. Well, for a national scenic byway, maybe you have a national environment byway. Anyway, no, very good.
Natural. So I think insert the word natural.
Natural. Yes. So, Senator Coobley, you can incorporate that in your motion, if you would, to fix that typo. Thank you so much. On that motion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller, anything else?
No, thank you for consideration. I know you have an incredible number of fabulous projects.
We do, and this is among them. Thank you so much for being here. All right, I'm going to present the Bell Museum proposal, members, and then, as I said, we'll lay over Senator Dibble's bill. So this will be the last one, so I'd really appreciate it if members could stick around. Senator Saxhog, yeah, thanks. I just lost my pen.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, Where is it?
Just lost my pen. There it is. Watch out, sorry, you're probably picking up. Big.
Get the purse.
Senator Anderson, Senate File 2685, Bell Museum.
This is close. Mr. Chair and members, I'm really excited about this proposal, and so I'm very glad to have your attention for the Bell Museum proposal. I just wanted to point out what I learned fairly recently is that the Bell Museum was actually established by legislative mandate in 1872 as the state's Natural History Museum. So this has been around, it's not quite 150 years old, but it's getting close to that. So this is the state's Natural History Museum. And it's been, has it been in the same location all that time?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. We'll let Mr. Lanyon talk about it a little bit more. But essentially, this would be a new location for the Bell Museum. And as you know who have been there, it's it's on the East Bank of the University of Minnesota. This proposal would rebuild it, a new building, at the corner of Cleveland and Larpinder. So that's right at the top of the St. Paul campus, right where the St. Paul campus meets Larpinder, just west of the state fairgrounds. And it's got some soccer fields on it now. So it's a perfect location because it allows for a lot more space indoor and outdoor, so that it has an incredible plan that will allow Minnesotans to be able to really appreciate and learn about our natural history and natural resources in a way that they can't in the current location. So it's a really terrific opportunity. And it's a proposal of the University of Minnesota in cooperation with the Department of Natural Resources. So that's why it's in front of us. It's sort of a joint request. And, of course, the Natural History Museum fits very squarely within the, you know, the topics that we look at this committee. But it's a partnership between the U and the DNR. And we'll let Scott Lanyon, the director of the Bell Museum, talk about those details. Just briefly, one more thing I will say is that the
The overall project cost is $36 million. This will be a major state museum when it's completed. I mean, a major new facility for our state museum. So $12 million of this will come from private and federal sources. And we're requesting $24 million for the university bonding portion of this, as well as $4 million for the Department of Natural Resources portion. And the DNR would do the outdoor part of the exhibit, which will be really exciting and kind of represent all the different ecosystems of Minnesota. So I'll just let Scott Lanyon, who does a fabulous job of running the Bell Museum, talk to you about a little bit of those details.
Mr. Lanyon, just identify yourself and go ahead.
Well, thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Scott Lanyon. I'm a professor at the University of Minnesota, and I am director. I actually was at the Field Museum for many years before coming here to take on this very, very interesting opportunity. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk to you about the project. It's very exciting. What we've established is a new vision for what a natural history museum should be in the 21st century. This will be the first of its kind. As we just heard, the university is requesting the money, bonding money, and we're getting private sector money for the building itself. But the really interesting thing here, what makes this really unique, is that it's not just an indoor experience, but we're looking to have outdoor exhibits and outdoor environments. And that's the specific piece that the DNR has requested $4 million to support. It makes sense because our missions overlap in one very, very important way, and that is that the DNR and the Bell Museum are both very, very concerned about a disconnect. We've heard something today about investing in infrastructure that really gets people into nature. Another investment that we think needs to be made is to repair. It's really about repairing the connection between our youth and nature. We are finding a situation where kids are increasingly uncomfortable in nature. And that does not bode well for this state. What the Bell Museum and the DNR can do together is that the Bell Museum can excite people about nature, especially in the metro area, but then get them to leave the metro area and to explore the state parks and the resources of our state to go fishing, hunting, nature photography, and so on. That's the future, and it's desperately needed right now. And other places around the country are watching what we do here in Minnesota because we believe this is the direction. So what will this do? The project will create some wetlands, walking trails, outdoor exhibits. It'll give us the opportunity to show school groups, walk-in visitors, undergraduate students, nature, to engage them in science, to engage them in learning how to see and enjoy nature, and hopefully to motivate them to enjoy their state. That's the vision. We believe that it is unique. It is something that will be a model for institutions around the country, but I'd like to be out in front and do the right thing and to show people the right way to do this engagement of youth with nature.
And Mr. Lanyon, probably you haven't been here at our previous committee hearings, but this committee's actually grappled with that issue quite a bit in the context of a lot of the proposals that we have from around the state for new trails, for parks, for other natural resource projects that we think will help to restore that connection between especially the next generation and our natural environment. So I think we have a lot of concern about how to do that. And this is such an important piece of it because it's the educational and outreach piece for the whole state that would be located, you know, right by the St. Paul campus and available right by the state fair. I mean, it's a location where a lot of Minnesotans could easily access it, and it's on, you know, kind of some bigger streets where you could park. It's a little easier than the current location for people to come in and spend a half a day or a few hours. I know they...
Senator Anderson, yeah, just speaking of this current location, what's going to happen to the current location?
Chair and members of the committee, the university designates that portion of campus as its historic district. The Bell Museum building is not on the historic register, but it is treated as though it were. And so while the precise use is yet to be determined, it will be reused. There are several entities on campus that are vying for the space that we currently occupy. So it will be reused. That was very important to the community of supporters for the museum.
Okay. Thank you.
And there's some, you know, beautiful drawings that we can see at another time when we have more time for people to really look at the plans. But It's just a really exciting, beautiful proposal. And as I said, I mean, the outdoor space will represent the different ecosystems of Minnesota so that you can explore them in miniature and get excited about going to see the North Woods or the prairies. It's also a great gold level LEED certified building that's proposed.
Do you have a question, Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if it's a question or just a statement. But Professor Lanyon, the last time I was there, and I believe it was with a committee, I forget which one, as spectacular as the Bell Museum is, if you look at it, the displays and exhibits and the space available is really quite dated. It's more like from the 1940s and 50s, and I don't think it's what visitors to a museum like this would expect to see in a modern facility. I don't know if I'm right on that or not, or if you'll care to comment.
Mr. Lanyon.
Chair and Senators, yes, I agree completely. In fact, the observation has been made that the Bell Museum today, in its exhibits itself, might more properly be considered a museum about museums. I have to say they are phenomenal dioramas. They are considered some of the best in the world, but it is a totally inflexible facility. That could work, and we could reinterpret that if we were a freestanding institution, but we're part of one of the great research universities in the world, and there's a big disconnect between what we can do within a dated, inflexible facility. That's the goal. The new facility, we will move dioramas over, and we will reuse them in new ways, but the challenge is, and our goal is to design a facility that enables us to keep pace with the needs of Minnesota. What is it that the public is interested in today? What are the challenges? What are the topics that they need to be engaged with? That's what the new facility will do, and it won't look like the existing facility in that respect.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I know we're trying to do all of these even really big projects in a short time, and so we'll leave it at that. I would encourage members, if you're interested, to go to the website and look at a video about the Future Museum and to see some pictures of the schematic.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Do you have any announcements for this committee before we adjourn? Or?
Are you prompting me? Is there one I'm supposed to have?
I don't know. Not that I knew of.
No, let me just say that next week we're going to hopefully finish the rest of the bonding requests. We keep getting more, and we want to try to accommodate members who want to have something heard and have a chance to present their idea. And then after that, we'll try to work on getting a recommendation to Senator Langseth shortly after that. So we don't have other committees scheduled after that. And members, I would just encourage you to ask for hearings as soon as possible if you have bills to bring to the committee as well. So thanks for asking.
Other business, yep. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair.
Same to you.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Scott. We had a big discussion about that. Senator Rummel had Marty Harris testified about underlying and talked about.